It wasn't just American banks going to the Federal Reserve at the height of the crisis.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. We're still learning about all the banks that borrowed money from the Federal Reserve at the height of the financial crisis. Under court order, the Fed released thousands of pages covering which financials borrowed from its so-called discount window. And according to those documents, the central bank supplied emergency loans to not only the U.S. banking system, but to a lot of foreign banks as well. Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
All right. So take us back to this moment. Remind us why these loans are so important.
Okay, well, we're talking, I mean, the key period under the spotlight here is October 2008, just after the collapse of Lehman Brothers. Credit was evaporating, liquidity drying up. Banks were on the brink, many of them, and the Fed stepped up its emergency lending. And in one week in that October, it lent a record $110 billion. Now it's emerged that almost three quarters of that sum was lent to foreign banks that had a branch in the U.S.
And name some names, Stephen. Which banks of note needed this help?
Big mainstream lenders like British banks Barclays and Royal Bank of Scotland, the French bank Société Générale, but some pretty odd cattle too. A Belgian bank that specialises in lending to local government in Belgium. They borrowed a total of $33.5 billion. Then there's the Norinchukin Bank, which provides financial services to Japanese fishermen. And my particular favourite, the Arab Banking Corporation, which is part-owned by the Central Bank of Libya.
Libya?
A billion.
Is that bank connected to Colonel Gaddafi?
Yes, indeed. Currently in a bunker somewhere in Tripoli. I should add, however, Steve, all these banks repaid their loans.
All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
The big news of the day, of course, comes from the Labor Department, which will announce its latest employment report in a little more than an hour and a half. Let's do the numbers. European stocks are higher right now. Asian markets ended the day mixed. Shares in Japan were off 0.5%. Oil's gone above $107 a barrel in trading. Prices have jumped $20 a barrel since the Libyan uprising began. Wall Street yesterday, the Nasdaq gained a little, but the Dow fell 30 points to end the day at 12,319. Representatives from the world's fastest-growing economies, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, the BRIC countries as they're known, announced they'll be meeting in China on April 14th. And at that meeting, they're going to welcome a new member to the club and change the acronym from BRIC to BRICS with an S for South Africa. Reporter Gretchen Wilson is with us from Johannesburg with more on that country's invitation. Good morning, Gretchen.
Good morning, Steve.
Will being included in this group, the BRICS group, be helpful to South Africa's economy, or is it going to be just a moment of recognition?
Well, it certainly is recognition. This puts Africa on the map among major emerging powers. And this is what President Jacob Zuma was lobbying so hard for last year when he visited each of the BRIC countries to push for South Africa to be included in future meetings. So it's really an acknowledgement that Africa is the next great frontier of growth, even if South Africa's economy is still much, much smaller than, of course, China's. This morning, I spoke with Elizabeth Sideropoulos, head of the South African Institute of International Affairs, and here's what she had to say about the economic benefits.
The clear benefit where we are at this particular point in our economic development is the extent to which we can leverage our membership of the BRICS for greater trade and investment opportunities.
So this relationship offers China, India, Brazil, and Russia a gateway into Africa, which, as you know, has massive natural resources, as well as 900 million consumers who really want to join the global economy.
And how, Gretchen, is this being felt on the ground in South Africa?
People here definitely know and feel that South Africa is the economic engine of Africa. And that's obvious, really, whenever you look around and you see how many migrants from other African countries come here to do business. It's a real thriving economic center for the continent. That said, of course, there are still 25% of the population that don't have jobs. There's 25% unemployment rate. And for those people, they're really going to be waiting to see whether there are really any concrete jobs or development that really come from this relationship before they get too excited.
Reporter Gretchen Wilson in Johannesburg. Gretchen, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. By Progressive Insurance, with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on mileage and safe driving habits. Learn more at progressive.com. And by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect.
For months now, we've been talking about the unrest that's spread across the Middle East and North Africa. The people of the region have risen up wanting the same freedoms other people around the world enjoy. But those kinds of freedoms include a lot of things people there haven't seen before, have only heard about. So today, women in the Middle East are getting their first look at their own version of the magazine Cosmopolitan, Cosmo. The BBC's Katie Watson reports from Dubai.
Women have played a major role in many of the protests across the Arab world. In Egypt and Tunisia, for example, they've been demanding greater political and cultural freedoms. But does that mean women in the region are ready for a magazine like Cosmo, that writes freely about men, relationships, and even sex? Kerry Simon is the editor of Cosmopolitan here in Dubai. She says they are.
Women today in the Middle East are just so much more sure of who they are and their rights within their own homes. You know, their rights to enjoy a relationship, their rights within a relationship, and just are more confident in who they are.
The magazine will be sold across the region. Now, countries like Lebanon are very liberal, but Cosmo will also be sold on newsstands in Saudi Arabia, a country where men and women can't even mix together in public. The first issue of the magazine will feature an article on 10 ways to get him to notice you, a watered-down alternative to what you may find in European and US editions, perhaps, but nonetheless likely to appeal to girls across the region. In Dubai, I'm the BBC's Katie Watson for Marketplace.
Hey, want to check out Cosmo Middle East? It's on our website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. On Twitter at Radio Chio, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The healthcare industry is loaded with new jobs, so you better have a really good resume.
Anytime you have more people entering a field, then they just simply up their standards of what they want.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Experience is a must. We'll have the day's business news as well next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.